Good morning, Grace Bible Church. How's everybody this morning? Good. Mend your garment before it no longer fits. I wonder what that means. I told Roseanne I was going to have fun this morning. And I am. Every one of us has been in a broken relationship. And you say, how does this guy know? He doesn't know my life. You're right. But I do know that every one of us has been in, and many still in, a broken relationship with God. So I'd like you to turn to the book of Genesis. Chapter 2. Last week when Mark was speaking, he gave all those excuses that we use, all those lame excuses of why we don't pray, go to church, read, study the scripture. You have no excuse for not finding Genesis. It's the first one. It's right there. You can't miss it. See, I said I was going to have fun this morning. Okay. Genesis chapter 2. So God created the heavens and the earth. And then he created a man. In verse 7, chapter 2, Genesis. Then the Lord God formed man of dust from the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life. And man became a living being. Then he created a place called Eden. Wow. What an awesome place. Who would not want to live in the Garden of Eden? Everything you wanted was there. Everything beautiful was there. And there was only one rule. Could you imagine living in a place that had just one rule? If you eat from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, surely you will die. So the rule was, don't eat from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And then God said, man should not be alone. He definitely got that one right. So he created a beauty by the name of Eve. And there were Adam and Eve having a good time in the Garden of Eden, the perfect place. And then along came Mr. Hippity Hop. A serpent wannabe, Satan himself. And he said to them, if you eat from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, surely you will not die. The old guy is wrong. Listen to me. Don't listen to him. And they did. Could you imagine that? And every time any one of us sins, we're doing the same thing. We're saying, Satan, I'm using my left hand. Satan, I believe you. And God, I don't believe you. And when this happened, the relationship between God and man was destroyed, or was separated. Okay? Did God want a separation between himself and his creation? No. Did Adam want a broken relationship? No. Probably one day Adam said to himself, what was I thinking? I had the perfect God. I had the perfect home. I had the perfect, beautiful bride. And I listened to the voice of a snake. And he was in good company. King David did the same thing. In 2 Samuel chapter 11, don't turn there, please. I don't want to hear the ruffling of pages. It was in the spring of a year, and the armies of Israel went out to conquer their enemies. And King David, warrior king, at the height of his power, at the height of his fame, at the height of his relationship with the Lord, stayed home. Why did he stay home? Because he got a visit from Mr. Hippity Hop. Psst. King David. Come here. Do I have a hot number for you? Whoo-wee. And you all know the rest of the story. Because a man after God's own heart listened to the voice of a snake. So the relationship between God and man was broken in the garden. Man went out into the world of sin. And the broken relationship was broken for quite a long time. This morning you heard the Peaks read from Isaiah. I'm going to read another little passage from Isaiah. You don't have to turn there. Isaiah chapter 64, beginning in verse 6. For all of us have become like one who is unclean, and all our righteous deeds are like a filthy garment. And all of us wither like a leaf, and our iniquities, like the wind, take us away. And there is no one who calls on thy name, who rouses himself to take hold of thee, for thou hast hidden thy face from us, broken relationship, and has delivered us into the power of our iniquities. But God didn't want that. He didn't want a broken relationship. So I'd like you to turn to the second letter of the Corinthians, chapter 15. You'll probably find that there is no 2 Corinthians chapter 15. Told you I was going to have a good time. Chapter 5. I'm only kidding. Okay. I'll give you 30 seconds to get there. Acts, Romans, Corinthians 1, Corinthians 2, right after the four Gospels. Second letter to the Corinthians. And you have to understand what Corinth was all about. Corinth was a real hellhole. It was truly the whoremaster of whoremasters. It was just sin everywhere. And they founded a church there. And this is Rabbi Paul speaking. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 18. Listen to this. Now all these things are from God, who reconciled us. Broken relationship, but reconciled us to himself. How? Through Christ, and gave us the, listen to this term, ministry of reconciliation. Namely, that God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself, not counting their trespasses against them. And he has committed to us the word of reconciliation. Verse 20, therefore we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God were entreating through us. We beg you, on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God. In three verses, some form of the word reconcile appears 5 times. But I want you to go back to verse 18, the phrase, ministry of reconciliation, and the high priest of that ministry is Jesus Christ. One of the fun things about being a physician, and there are other fun things, but one of the fun things about being a physician is that I could be nosy and nobody complains about it. And I like to tell you this story, but before I tell you the story, I'm going to tell you a quick story, which is just the opposite. I'll come home sometimes, and Roseanne is sitting there, and her face is swollen, and her eyes are red, and the tears are just coming down her face, and I can't imagine what has happened. I think, well, maybe she fell, or maybe one of her sisters died, or maybe her best friend went to prison. And I say, something, I don't know. Actually, that wasn't meant to be funny. I told you I was going to have fun. So I say, what's wrong? And she's crying. She says, oh, she names a friend. She had an accident. She broke her leg. And so this is how my brain works. My first question is, which leg? And she stops crying and she looks at me and says, I don't know. I'm not nosy like you are. So back to being a nosy doctor. So someone comes into my office. You've all been to doctors. You get your history taken. What are your meds? What kind of surgery do you have? Do you smoke? So on and so forth. And then I get to the good part. And the godfather, it was called La Familia, the family history. Okay? This is my favorite part. So my first question is, are your parents alive? It could be a man or woman. More often than not, because I just happen to have more female patients than male, but it could be both. It could be either. My second question is, okay, how old is your father? I don't know. This opens the door for Dr. Nosey. Why don't you know how old your father is? Because I haven't seen him in 10 years. I don't want to have anything to do with him. I don't care about him at all. Whoa. So I ask another nosy question, and the whole history comes out. And all the gory details, and while the gory details are being told, and it could be a man or woman, just like Roseanne was sitting there, the tears are coming down the face. Okay? So, I give a variation. I have four or five variations of this. Okay, when I hear the whole story. I just want to let you know, and I want you to think about this, that that guy who you haven't seen in 10 years and that guy who you want to have nothing to do with, when you were a baby, he held you in his arms. And I will tell you right now, and I don't care if he's out in the street shooting heroin, I don't care if he's about to get out on parole, I don't care if he's had three wives since your mother, he wants to hear from you. And you want to hear from him. So I'm going to make a recommendation. I always have one of three recommendations. This is, remember, the Ministry of Reconciliation. Yeah, we just told that. Brother Paul wrote it. Why don't you write him a letter? Why don't you give him a call? If it's in the Tampa Bay area, say, why don't you go knock on his door? Why don't you go knock on his door? The one I use most often is, why don't you call him? And it's so interesting. She hasn't seen this guy in 10 years. She wants to have nothing to do with him. But she has his phone number. How interesting. I'd like you to turn to the Gospel of Luke, chapter 15. And I promise in the Gospel of Luke there is a chapter 15. Chapter 15, the Gospel of the Good Doctor Luke. First, it starts off with a story about the lost sheep. Then there's a story about the lost coin. And then there's a story about the prodigal son. And as I'm looking around here, I see former prodigal sons and daughters. And I see present prodigal sons and daughters. And I even see future prodigal sons and daughters. And we can all relate to that. Okay. So here's the prodigal son. Chapter 15, verse 11. And he said, a certain man had two sons. And the younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the share of my inheritance that falls to me. Isn't that interesting? You get an inheritance when the guy dies. You don't get it before, but this father was willing. He loved his son, and he was willing to give him the inheritance before he died. So the son takes the inheritance. The man divides the wealth of his estate, half between him and half the other son. And this son goes out into the world, just like Adam was kicked out of the garden and went out into the world. And he takes his money. And in verse 13, he squanders his estate with loose living you could only imagine. He probably went into drinking and hired prostitutes and all the horrible things. Well, to him, the good things, but all the horrible things in life. And then one day he reaches into his pocket and there's nothing left. He has zero. So what happens? Well, he has attached himself to someone, and in verse 16 it says, and he was longing to fill his stomach with the pods that the swine were eating, and no one was giving anything to him. This is a Jewish boy. Jews have nothing to do with pigs. They don't eat any food that comes from pigs. They don't touch pigs. They don't eat the food that pigs eat. And that there he was in that situation. He couldn't get any lower. But in verse 17 it says, but when he came to his senses. Saul was on his way to Damascus. And the light was so bright he was blinded. And he remained blind for 3 days. And when he was able to see, he truly saw the light of Jesus Christ as Lord. So, the prodigal son comes to his senses. And he says, verse 18, I will get up and go to my father, and I will say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven. The ministry of reconciliation. The high priest is Jesus Christ. So he comes to his senses, and he recognizes that he's a sinner. And that's the first step. You look in the mirror. You say, who is that horrible sinner looking at me? And you realize it's you. And you say, I am a sinner. That's your first moment of humility. Fasten your seatbelt. You have been cleared for takeoff. After that, it's easy, or easier. And you confess your sins. And you turn away from your sins. And you call upon Jesus Christ as Lord. And that's reconciliation. Now you can reconcile with God and you can reconcile with each other. And you can teach people about reconciliation. See one, do one, teach one. That's an old adage in medicine. See one, here's the reconciliation. Do one. Reconcile with others. Teach one. Tell others how to reconcile. One more. I'd like you to turn to the Gospel of Matthew. Chapter 5. Ah, another chapter 5. Verse 21. Okay, the word raka means stupid or foolish or idiot or moron or something inferior, and it's just a criticism of someone, a very harsh criticism, a very harsh put down of someone. Keep that in mind. Verse 21, you have heard that the ancients were told, you shall not commit murder. And whoever commits murder shall be liable to the court. But I say to you that everyone who is angry with his brother shall be guilty before the court. And whoever shall say to his brother, Raka, shall be guilty before the Supreme Court. And whoever shall say, you fool, shall be guilty enough to go into the fiery hell. Verse 23, if therefore you are presenting your offering at the altar, and there remember that your brother has something against you. In other words, you come to give your offering, and God says, uh-uh. You put it down there. You have blood on your hands because you're in a broken relationship. You keep your offering down there. Go out in the parking lot. And as my mother used to say when I was little, make nice. Okay? And when that relationship, when you have reconciled, you can come back inside and you can leave your offering. Matter of fact, when you come back inside, you could leave twice an offering. That is the ministry of reconciliation. God sent Jesus so we can reconcile that broken relationship we had with him. We can reconcile the broken relationships we have with others, and so we can teach others how to reconcile. And we do that, and the only way we can do it is through Jesus. You get one shot. God didn't send three sons and give us a multiple choice. We get one shot. I'll give you one example, and I'll finish. I'll give you an example of one shot. When David was a shepherd boy called into action because Israel was threatened by the Philistines, he was standing in front of the giant, and he had five stones in his pouch. And I always wondered, why did he have five stones? Because he was never going to get a second shot. He had one chance. You either shoot and kill the giant, and Israel is saved, or you miss, and the giant's going to be upon you, crush you, and Israel becomes a slave colony of the Philistines. You get one shot. And that one, or the one chance, and that one chance is Jesus Christ as Lord. And one more thing. And I'm saying this to myself too. Please do not listen to the voice of a snake. Let's pray. Thank you, Lord Jesus, that you came to reconcile us to your Father in heaven. Thank you that you came to save us all. For God so loved the world that he sent his one and only Son. Blessed art thou, O Lord our God, King of the universe. Amen. Thank you all for listening.